Welcome to the Strategic Investor. Join us as we interview some of the world's most productive asset managers and uncover sophisticated and unique investment strategies in the markets. Here is your host, Charlie Wright.
Hello and welcome to Strategic Investor Radio on OC Talk Radio, where we bring you investment strategies you are not hearing elsewhere. We'd like to welcome today, for the very first time, Jason Muller, founder and managing principal at Beach City Capital, a multifamily real estate project and development firm headquartered here in Hermosa Beach, California. Jason, welcome to Strategic Investor Radio.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I look forward to discussing some product types with you and seeing how I can help share the knowledge I've been able to gain.
We'll look forward to it, Jason. You began your professional life as an architect. You practiced for 5 years, then you gravitated to land use and entitlement side of the business. So you certainly understand local government, especially in Southern California, I'm
That's
sure.
That's right.
And then that together with grad school at USC, you started Beach City Capital. How long ago?
About 5 years ago.
5 years ago. And you've been positioned well for that kind of work that Beach City Capital does. So give us a little background of yours, will you?
Sure, absolutely. I've been able to have the pleasure of being traditionally trained as an architect. After architecture school, I went to go work for the Jurdi Partnership, and we were doing designing seven-star hotels in Dubai. We're also doing casinos in the United States. And, shortly thereafter, I went to go work for and do land use and entitlements. And it was quite fascinating because what we did was we did industrial conversion to creative office. And this was before it was cool. This is like 2012, 13, 14 in Santa Monica, Culver City in L.A. And that's when I really, really got to understand entitlements, development, and investments. That's where I got the bug for development, right? And so I applied to grad school, got into both Columbia and USC. I decided to go to USC was able to meet a lot of people, go to all the different schools there. If you have a high GPA, you can go to the Marshall School, the Price School, the Viterbi School, and the Architecture School, as long as you talk to the deans and you coordinate. After that, I went to go work for a large institutional development company in which I was able to build a large amount of mixed-use projects, also Hyatt Place hotels in different locations like Emeryville, Pasadena. And, once I had my wife and I had our firstborn child named Lucas, who just turned 4, I decided to invest into small apartment buildings up and down the coast in Redondo, Hermosa, Manhattan Beach, South Bay, LA beaches. And it was really just to like allow them to cash flow, get permits to knock them down, build Ocean View townhomes. It was an amazing experience. I was able to build my staffing around that, my accounting, my legal, and my strategy. But then what I did is I directed my team to start to focus on joint venture partnerships with landowners, right? And that allowed me to get larger sites. It allowed me to get better positioned deals where I can get 30-unit, 40-unit, 50-unit projects going. And that we were able to gain a lot of business that way. And the landowners that I was partnering with were very happy because they're getting able to stay in the deal. They also getting a premium for the land. So it was a win-win situation. What was interesting was a colleague of mine from USC works for a co-living operator now. And I got approached by them and they've offered me 10-year master leases for the projects I'm building. So instead of me building my projects as townhomes or condos and selling them off, they said, stop. We will lease them out for you from you for a 10-year period of time with a guaranteed master lease, right? And I was like, well, that's interesting. So we underwrote the leases, right? We made sure they're fully securitizable through the CMBS market, and it all checked out. And so we've pivoted our product type from a for sale product to a hold product. And for specific locations, we will do a co-living master lease on them. And so that allowed us to gain a lot of traction in the equity markets. And we've since been able to bring our platform up and focus on opportunity zones as well. So that also gives you tax incentive to invest into real estate backed securities through Beach City Capital, because we have this three-prong approach. It's really just three simple pillars. We're doing joint venture partnerships with landowners, to enable us to get great sites, right? Second one is to mitigate risk for construction is we have some of the projects 100% pre-leased. The third bullet point is having some of the projects in opportunity zones for those that are trying to defer capital gains. We've been blessed with being able to have such a great staff. It's kind of an interesting story because for every position, we send out a job posting, and we get about 200 people plus to interview. And these are all bright, talented people out there. And like the United States, we have an amazing talent pool. If you see it, you'd be so excited to be able to see this talent.
And real estate attracts quality people. Let's face it, especially Southern California. I mean, that's how people have made their money here.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And we go down and I actually asked a fellow Tiger 21 member how he has a staff of 400. And I go, how do you do it? For every one person that we hire, we have to interview like 50 people, right? It's insane. And he's like, videotape them, have them do a personal video of themselves for 2 minutes and ask them 3 simple questions and have them submit it. And it works amazingly.
Hey, that's a great idea. So, thanks for sharing that with me.
Yeah.
So let's go over your three here. So which of those three is the most challenging at this point?
I would say the bottleneck is the joint venture partnership with the landowner.
Yeah, I would think so.
And so the way that we are able to harness that is we have our acquisition team looking probably at 20 deals a month, right? And we all get emails from brokers, introducing projects to us. And so I always state we only do joint venture partnerships with landowners. That is like the number one required. The second would be a 12-month escrow. Third would be a 6-month escrow with some options. We've been able to get in contact with the landowner that's interested in a joint venture partnership. Then we, share with them our business plan. And it's, would you like me to share with you the way that we do the structure or?
Yeah, probably not time to do that today, but perhaps another time.
Sure, of course.
But so you find these people have particular motivations. Now, these landowners, are they institutions? Are they mom and pops? Are they people typically like in their 60s who have owned these for years? I mean, what kind of people are they or entities?
They're on average, probably mom and pops that have had the land for probably 20, 30 years, don't want to let it go. If they want to let it go, they want a premium or they want to just stay in the deal. And so I think that's kind of what's attractive to them is that they have the opportunity to get premium for their land, but also stay in the deal and be a part of something.
Yeah.
I think that excites them as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you offer them that and then it removes any need for management on their part, correct?
That's right. It does two things for them, actually. It allows them to get a premium for their land. It allows them to be able to get to stay in this deal. And then they have the opportunity to enjoy the cash flows after the project has been built. So those are three positives for them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you stick, let's change the focus just a little bit.
Sure.
You stick to Southern California coastal. I'm sure everybody tells you all the time it's overbought. Okay, so do you believe it is not, or are you able to structure the deals in a certain way to be protected? How do you deal with the fact that they are so massively expensive these days?
I think the beauty behind our acquisition strategy is that we're doing joint venture partnerships with landowners, so we're going directly to the source. So they're not properties that are over-marketed. Right. So that's one benefit for me. Right. Also, it allows me to get properties that are in prime locations. So just because I have a joint venture partnership doesn't mean we're going to do the deal. It also has to be in a prime location and the deal has to pencil. Right. So I believe that the economy fluctuates pretty dramatically on different things across the spectrum of monetary, and also international dealings. But real estate's very specific. It has site specificity, right?
Yeah.
And so I like to base each deal on its own quarter mile comps. Overall, big picture, it doesn't matter what's happening in Arkansas if we're doing a deal in Redondo Beach.
Correct. Right?
So I do believe that the coastal communities have an extra layer of risk mitigation against the markets because they're very desirable. So if someone sells their company or sells, you know, a portfolio piece, being by the coast is always desirable. So that's an extra layer for me. So that's what makes it interesting for me to invest along the coastline.
Do you try to pick, Jason, properties that are especially attractive to a particular group, such as retirees or millennials or something like that? Or do you just say, hey, somebody's going to lease this out here?
I think I'll answer that in two ways. One is that we're focusing on in-demand locations. So a lot of the time, the highest demands are young families. So it's the 2-3 bedroom, you know, that have, you know, 2 kids, 3 kids that are 2 young working professionals. That's kind of where I like to kind of focus a lot of my time. I have 2 young kids, a 4-year-old, Lucas Muller, and then also have Oliver Muller, that's 1.5. And so I also needed to grow my family and buy a home that's, you know, 2-3 bedroom. And so I see a high demand in that. A lot of my friends have 2 kids. So if you know, my close, you know, network are growing the population, I can only imagine California and the United States, you know, with the big picture. So I'm trying to, you know, cater to that demand, you know, with in providing housing. So that's the first one. The second one is also having co-living or a micro unit product type that's catering to the urban techies, the people that are just out of college that don't want to pay huge premiums in rent, want to live in great urban locations. And you offset that by having a smaller apartment building, right? Or you do co-living.
Co-living. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with that term. I mean, is this roommates? Is that what you're talking about?
That's something that's been emerging around the world. The United States, California specifically, a little behind the ball, but it is a co-living is similar to having roommates. It's not quite like a dormitory. So what it is, it's like two rooms will have each a bathroom, right? And then they'll have a common amenity, the living room and kitchen, and it'll be high end. But then the building itself will have a great rooftop deck. It'll have its own amenity space. And they'll also have car wash service. They'll have, maid service. They'll have dry cleaning service. They'll have a walk your dog service, you know? And so they even have a service where somebody does your work for you. No, I'm playing. And so it's interesting because people are busy. They want to be in core locations and they're willing to pay for that, those amenities. So.
Okay. So who runs those? Is this the company that you have long-term leases with?
Yeah. So there are several different operators. We're currently working with Quarters, with Medici, with Ed Foss. He's been a great partner to work with. And he's offering us 10-year master leases for our projects. So.
Wow. So
they're the operators.
Yeah. They're the operators. So they bring in these services.
That's right.
Okay. Well, that is very interesting. Yeah. I learned something new today here.
So yeah.
I didn't realize that here. So so that's who you focus on. That's what you do. Tell us about why somebody you think should invest in this.
I think for our pool of investors, we always like to just say it's slow growth money. It's not let's triple your money in a year or two, right? It's risk mitigated. So we're building yield. We're building cash flowing assets, right? So what we're doing is we're going and building like a 50 unit apartment building, right? And what happens is you got to understand real estate backed securities are pretty safe because you own a portion of the real estate, right? Not like, you know, private equities and public equities, bonds and stocks. It's different because you actually own a tangible asset.
Right.
You know, you can also drive by with your family. So it's you got to understand that piece of it. The second piece is that it's cash flowing consistently. So you have your principal safe, you know, and then you're earning cash flow every year. You also are able to benefit from the depreciation, right, of the asset. So it's a tax benefit for you. And then at the 5 or 10 year mark, whenever the partnership decides to sell, you get your principal back and you get a large substantial amount of upside. So during the portion of your investment, You have a safe place to place your money. You get cash flow during the 10 years. Then you also get upside. So for people's portfolios, people in Tiger 21, pretty wealthy group of individuals across the United States and Canada, their portfolio allocation is suggested this way. It's 30% is to real estate-backed securities, 25% to public equities, 25% to private equities, the rest in commodities and other. So, if you want to invest like, the wealthy, that would be a suggested, allocation of your assets. And within the 30% of real estate, I would suggest you do cash flowing assets, development assets. Also, you can invest in REITs and different type of product types. So,
okay. And tell us, how is the investor protected? What's the loan to value to start with that?
An investor is protected in several ways. An investor is always placed into an LLC. So each project has a legal entity, right? That's a limited liability company, right? That is, regulated by the federal government, right? And each project has a commercial bank account, right? So all the bank accounts are monitored by the IRS. And so anytime any equities are funded in, they have to be funded in by a United States entity or, a citizen. And once that's in, there's constant accounting that's being provided. Also, there's K-1s that are being provided every year, right? So this is first step is the IRS, and the banking is all, it's a Regulation D security. So it's also regulated by the SEC, which mandated by the federal government.
So somebody has to be an accredited investor.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's right. So that's the first step. The second step is that there's a lot of risk mitigations put into each deal, right? So the sponsor will always have 5% contingency overall in the project costs. Also have contingency on the construction portion of it. They also have some equity that would be a cushion to it, right? And then there's a debt component to each deal, which is a bank. And there's also equity component to the deal. The sponsor is always required to work with the bank to guarantee or provide signatures for that bank loan, right? And then the equity, it has a security in the LLC that owns a portion of the real estate.
Okay.
So if that makes sense.
Okay, it does. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So do you work directly with investors or does Beach City Capital work primarily with advisors? Do you work with institutions? Who are your clients?
That is a great question. Primarily, we've been raising about $9 million of friends and family, doctors, professors, lawyers, local network, right? A lot of professors from USC, a lot of, developers that are retired are investing in our projects, right? And I went to USC, so I'm very proud of that. So that's kind of a portion of our investors. A second portion is through advisors, through being able to have investors coming through different advisors that are connecting. I think that there's a very important, place in the market for brokers and capital brokers and advisors and RIAs. That's the way we connect to joint venture partnerships, large LPs. And so with those three in mind, that's how we're able to bring equity into our platform.
So let's change the subject a little bit here, Jason. Two questions we like to ask all of our guests. Mm-hmm. One, what keeps you awake at night?
Ha, great question. I always like to make sure that all of the equity injections that are needed for any given project are on time, scheduled properly, so there's no delays in the projects. So that's kind of my overarching big picture strategy I like to have. And I think the second thing is I always like to be mindful of my, work-family balance. I want to make sure that I take my kid out to his birthday. I want to make sure that I'm able to cook him banana pancakes in the morning and take him for a walk at, the beach in the evening, and make sure I take my wife to England every year in the summer. Otherwise, I have to make a cup of tea for every morning and I'm in trouble. And so I'm very mindful. I don't want to be the work dad. Life's too short. My kids are going to grow up too quickly. And it doesn't matter, how busy my company is. Like I turn off when I get home. So I try to be thoughtful in those aspects, making sure my company's running smoothly from a funding schedule standpoint, and then also making sure that I have a work balance with what I'm doing and with my family.
Jason, I'm very pleased to hear that. I'm a father of 7 children.
Wow, that's awesome.
Okay, and it's so easy to make that back burner, you know, especially as you're younger like you are, and you got all these things going on, and Tiger 21 activities, and all these employees, etc. And you got to remember that, because over time, okay, spending too much time at work can be the most expensive thing in anybody's life. And we've all met plenty of men, especially who have done that. So number two is, what book on investing would you recommend?
Oh, wow. There's so many books on investing, and we can have a full conversation about this, but if there's one book that I would recommend for everybody to read is Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Okay.
That was written in the 30s.
Yeah.
And it's 100% applicable today.
It is.
Every class I teach, you know, at different universities, that's the one book I require all students to read. We also, you know, every quarter we'll have a book club at my company, and that'll be a book that we cover. And I've probably read that big book 20 times.
Really?
And it never gets old. So that's number one. Number two would be, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Okay.
I think there's some fundamentals in there that have changed my life. And it's very, very important for those that want to get into real estate to be able to read that book and understand it. Nothing can replace a formal education. So, you know, looking at real estate from a formal education is something that, you know, USC provides, Columbia, Harvard are some of the best schools in the nation. There's a lot of different schools in the nation. Nothing will replace that. So I highly recommend a higher education. I wouldn't be where I am today without it. Also giving back to, employees, interns, friends, family. That's actually how I learn and keep sharp.
Good. And let's add a third question along those lines. Yeah, a bonus question. What is the best investment advice you've ever received or heard?
I think the best investment advice would be to invest in your neighborhood, in your community, and understand your investment. Make sure you're 100% confident and you understand the deal before you invest. That's something I always make sure of all of my investors, that they're 100% confident with the investment. I want to make sure through their DD, they've got all their questions answered, and that them and their spouse are 100% involved. It's important to involve your spouse, because that is your partner, you know? And so I think that that's super important. And when people are 90%, 70%, 60%, just pass. There's time in this world, and the perfect opportunity will come up for you.
Yeah. So. Wow. Good to hear. So for those who would like to know more, where can they go?
They can go to beachcitycapital.com. We have all our projects, our thesis. We also have our investment page there. So it's beachcitycapital.com. Also, you can email me directly at jason@beachcitycapital.com, or you can call, text me at 310-245-4419. I'm open for any questions you guys might have. If you want to start your business, if you want to start investing in real estate, if you have any sites you'd like me to peer review, I'm here to help. I'm here to help grow this beautiful nation that we have. I'm very proud to be American, and I'd love to help build business any way I can.
Hey, thank you very much. That's very nice of you to offer that here.
Of course.
Okay, so final words for our listeners here, Jason.
God bless and keep working hard.
That's a great combination. So, Jason, thank you very much for joining us here today. Appreciate it, and appreciate the comments. And we didn't get to opportunity zones, but maybe we can do that another time.
Here. Absolutely. So,
okay. Again, we've been talking with Jason Muller, founder and managing principal at Beach City Capital out of Hermosa Beach, California. You've been listening to Strategic Investor Radio on OC Talk Radio. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at info@strategicinvestorradio.com. Go to our website to hear podcasts of all of our interviews and shows. This is Charlie Wright wishing you an enjoyable week and productive investing.
Strategic Investor Radio is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. Content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Charlie Wright, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.